I'm Edwin.
And I'm Jocelyn, and this is The Long Overdue,
a show about libraries.
And each episode, we will feature a special guest in a short conversation,
focusing on the Soros Library and beyond. Now, today's guest is Buddy Imboden. Buddy is a student at Soros, as well as a circulation assistant here at the library. Buddy is currently studying history and has a passion for literature. He grew up in Sanderson and is always full of fun facts.
Buddy, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Tell me what you told me on the way over here.
Okay, I was getting all the jokes out of the way before I got here, so I was like, Jocelyn, please, thank you for this opportunity to defend myself, but no, this isn't that kind of podcast.
It's, right? It's day three of the riveting trial between Buddy versus the people of
mine. What would you defend yourself from, Buddy?
I never thought that far ahead. Honestly, I was just...
I mean, it made me laugh. It was good. It was good.
All right.
Well, if you're ready, we'll dive right into the questions.
Yeah, no, of course.
Okay, cool. I don't think... normally, for the guests, I give them a sheet of the questions so they can kind of prep their answers before, but I didn't do that with you.
No, you did not. I kind of went around in my head trying to figure out what would be asked here.
Have you watched... The first episode?
I watched the introduction episode. I haven't seen the first one yet.
So you have no idea what we're about to ask you?
No. We're going to watch it together, me and my girlfriend, actually. So,
that's cute.
Hi, Gina, if you're watching this.
I was waiting. I was like, when is Buddy going to bring up his girlfriend?
Right.
Anyway.
You're waiting for the name drop.
What do libraries mean to you?
Libraries, in general, they're some of the most important buildings we have in our towns. And, it's a center of education, right? I think personally is the most important building on the campus, because the library's main function is to educate, it's to compile human information, and I think that's really important to us as a species, right? I know I feel like I'm getting a little really deep into this, but...
Your answer is very serious, I'm loving it. Keep going.
No, it's like, back in the day, ancient Greeks, they thought, okay, what's a good way to describe a person, right? A human person. And they came up with, like, featherless biped, things like that, right? Mm. Obviously, that's just a chicken. But personally,
they
have
feathers?
Chicken without feathers, if you take the feathers off of a chicken. Because that's what one guy did at, like, Plato's, like, one of his classes or something like that.
Yeah, Plato presented that humans were featherless bipedals.
So some guy ran in there with a plucked chicken and just threw it at him. Was like, look, that's a guy, right? But personally... I think what separates humans...
Just a chicken guy, you know.
Yeah.
Just a dude.
I think his name is Diogenes. He was a great philosopher. But I think that history is what separates us from anything else that
absolutely.
Is alive. We are the only guys... We're the only people, species on this planet. Not us, but... Humans... Ants don't go out around recording their history or writing things down, right? That's something only we do as humans, and I think that libraries are a good representation of why we stand out so much.
I would counter that with, yes, you're right, but maybe I am turning into Joe Rogan.
Jesus.
Yikes.
Got into you. You need a break from podcasts. I'm sorry.
I might. Okay. Other animals do communicate with each other in unique ways that are... uniquely not human. Like, there are birds that make little, like, signs and stuff for other birds to, signal that they're ready for mating. So, yes, I do agree.
Communication is, like, a big part of it, right? But documenting that, recording that, how many pictures do you have on your phone? You know, every person does this.
I guess other animals don't take pictures.
Very uniquely human, yeah. I mean, I guess you could train a monkey to take a picture. But
yeah, and other animals draw, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like a...
We need to get a scientist on this podcast.
Libraries show that we do this really well.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. All right, buddy. With all this little fun facts that you presented to us about the library and all the stuff you know about it, with that in mind, what does our library mean to you?
Well, honestly, I work at the library, but it doesn't feel like a job, right? Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've ever been in a point in my life where I actually enjoy going to work. It's a place where I get to help people. In general, that's what I love about working at the library. Mm-hmm. I'm on the front desk. I'm the one who checks in books, checks out rooms, things like that. I get to talk to people personally. I get to explain to them how to find what they're looking for. Having that communication and that access to information and spreading it is honestly my favorite part of the library we've got here.
That's so cute.
I mean, it's true, and
I love that.
That's a huge
Do you want to keep working in libraries when you're done with school?
I mean, my main goal is to become a teacher, maybe a professor someday. Okay. But yeah. Libraries have always been kind of there, right? I mean, my first not real job was at a library. I've been connected to them. Like, I have a big history with libraries growing
up. Cool. So. That's literally our next question is, what's your history with libraries?
I remember the first time I figured out what a library was. I was 5 years old, and my sister brought home a book that was like a little pop-up book about crickets. And I thought it was the best book I've ever read. And then one day it was just gone, and I was freaking. I was like, where'd the book go? I was like, oh, I took it back to the library. That's what a library is. That's when I figured it out. So when I was in elementary school, I just went to the library every day after school, right? That was my thing. I was a very boring kid. I read a lot of nonfiction.
That's literally not boring at all. That's why you're so full of fun facts.
There you go.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Maybe loser is a better term.
Jeez.
Wow. Okay.
I'm kidding.
This is getting heated. Wow.
Jeez.
Really,
Thanks for coming on the cast, buddy.
Yeah.
My you're not a loser. That one. Yeah. You're not a loser and you're not boring.
Today's but sponsor.
I'm sponsoring this? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to check my bank account. But
anyway.
No, well, when I was in high school, my senior year, I got a job working at the little high school library. It wasn't an official job. I was just an aide at the library.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to do a lot of things I actually do here, like putting books away and checking things out for people. I was in there around the time that like all the little second graders would go to, so I'd help them read books, and that was always fun. But
I like that.
Yeah, so you were always like ready to help when you went to the library then, huh?
Yeah, no, I had a connection to libraries growing up, so that was kind of my thing.
How big is Sanderson, the school district?
Super tiny. Okay. I think my class was the biggest one we had at the time, and it was like 16 or 18 people. And
for real?
Yeah, no, it's super tiny.
So did
you
all have
there.
One campus? Were there multiple campuses?
We had like the middle school and the high school connected, and it was like...
So y'all shared a library?
Yeah, it was a big shared library in like this big like Pentagon-shaped room. It was really cool looking, actually. But yeah, you had all kinds of books in there.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I know where Sanderson is, but I've never been. So I didn't know how small it actually
is.
It's
super small. That's public library that I used to always go to was like really tiny, but it had a lot of cool books.
Nice.
That's pretty great, man. Well, you've worked at you're working at this library.
Yeah.
Worked at the Sanderson years. Library. So with these two libraries in mind, plus all what you mentioned with library is, what would a dream library for you be?
The library they've got at the University of Oxford is probably something I would like to visit, right? Mm. I mean, I don't know too many big libraries or like where I would go to find like a really cool one. I mean, Library of Congress, things like that, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like going to Oxford over there, they're going to have some like really cool first edition, like ancient premium, finely like preserved books, mm-hmm. things like that. I would love to look at because I mean.
It sounds like libraries to you are more about their contents rather than their space.
Absolutely, okay. Right? I mean, yeah. I go, whenever I'm doing like the rounds in library, I have to check the shelves to make sure everything's in order and nothing's out of place. Every single time, I can't help but just like run my fingers across the spines of the books because every book up there, someone sat down and wrote. A person, an author, would go there, every letter you read on a page was personally written and thought about at some point. And I just think that it's amazing having so much access to all of that, right? I could not get through half of that library if I had my entire life to read it all.
That's true. So often I feel like for people, the library is more about the space, like what it offers visually or comfort-wise. Whereas you're like, I don't give a shit. I just want cool books. I like that. That's a good perspective.
I like the fact that it has so much information, so much shared past knowledge, and all of this that's just preserved. That's going to be there for a long time. It's going to outlive the people who wrote those words, right? I mean, that's always just, I mean, as a historian, I guess that's part of why I enjoy it so much, right? I like looking back on history and seeing that people existed. I like how books can show what people's emotions were, what the social norms were for a specific time. I mean, it does have like that bit of like humans can live past the time that their bodies expire type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, definitely. Writing a book is one way to immortalize yourself, yeah, right?
There's like this rock somewhere in Greece, I think they found. I forget what it's called exactly. It's a pretty big boulder, and it's like, my name is whatever, and I lifted this rock. And they just wrote that, and it's still there.
That's like Jocelyn was here.
I
know.
I think that was an actual thing they found. Like, they found some old, like, runes or something on the top of the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople, and they were like, oh, this must have some historical religious significance. And then when they finally got up there and translated it, said, I was here. Some guard wrote it up there. And
so. That's incredible.
Yeah, I've heard that there's some like that in some, like, Roman ruins as well, where they'll say, like,
I heard about it here. Yeah, I heard a cave somewhere, I think, up in, like, Canada or, like, Greenland or somewhere. They found, like, 10 feet up on a cave wall, someone wrote something, and it took them a while to actually get to it to see what it said. And it was like in old Norse runes, it said, this is really high up, or just something like that, right? And I don't know, just the fact that we can preserve just thoughts, emotions, information, I think that's something that I've always admired, and that's probably why I love libraries so much.
That's so cool.
I don't remember if I read that it's an actual thing or it's an idea, but there's a library out there that certain books are actually people.
Oh, yeah, a human library.
Yeah, a human library, and that, like, they'll tell you.
Like, the book is made out of people?
God, no. That's a whole different section.
I completely misheard that.
Okay, there are books that the vellum that they're, like, bound in is human skin, but you can't really find those in libraries.
That's what I was thinking.
I think
those
are at, like, museums. I don't even know if you can see
them. Some libraries do have them. Funny enough, I actually read a book that we got for our collection about human-bound, like, books. And
I'm like,
everybody thinks that they have one. And I think, from what I remember in that book, they've only found, like, 4.
Ever?
Well, not like ever, but like in their study that they did.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a very specific test that they have to do in order to determine if it is human skin or not. And sometimes,
what's the test?
If I remember correctly, you're supposed to dip a part of the book in like this very specific.
Wouldn't it just be like a DNA test? But if it's preserved, I guess it would be different.
Yeah, no, it's like because like the liquid they dip it in changes color. And the thing is that sometimes the samples are so like
tiny, so that you don't mess up the book.
Sounds like something you'd find on Etsy.
Yeah, just like
regretsy.
good.
Thank you.
No, but yeah, like you'll. It sounds weird to say, but you'll check out people and they'll tell you like their story, and it's just odd.
Hey, I think that guy's checking you out.
Oh my god. Yeah, I've seen that. I don't remember which library was kind of the first to do it. Probably somewhere in California, because that's where all the new cool stuff happens library wise. But then a lot of like smaller libraries were trying to do it, but it's like they didn't have anybody really that notable. So it's just like they're just kind of trying. But I mean, you can learn something from everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Who says that? Maybe Bill Nye? ? We need a fact checking section.
Yeah.
But it's like every person you talk to knows something that you do not. Like,
yeah, it's true. Yeah. Very true.
I mean, do you want to know what they know? Maybe not, but that's always going to be an option there. There's always something to learn from someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine how the jury must have felt. And like Jeffrey Dahmer's like,
oh my god, this is way more morbid than I thought it'd be going into this side.
What? Anyway, we might cut that part. Okay, coolest. We talked about the Dream Library, so you care more about the content. What's the coolest library you have visited? Most interesting?
Honestly, I have not been to too many libraries.
Okay.
I think I've listed them all here. Sanderson,
love that.
They have the two in Sanderson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of content, I remember in Sanderson I read a lot of ghost stories, which were
cool.
Like, oh, that's cool. That's something that stuck with me. I like listening to, like, creepy stories all the time. But I guess Sol Ross in general, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we just have so much that's available, different ranging topics. It's honestly, I've never seen so many books in one place. And I mean, I just think it's great.
Yeah, definitely. How many items do we have? Do you know off the top of your head?
I know, like a lot.
Well, yeah, like a lot. Like, how much is a lot?
More than 12.
Definitely.
More than 12?
I mean, I've been up there. That's quite a bit of books.
Yeah, I mean, we have three stories full of books, but I'm interested to know what the total number is. I'm going to do some research later.
I can count for you.
No.
No. You sure?
I'm sure. I'm sure our catalog will tell us our total number of items.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Definitely.
Anyway.
All right, buddy. So what is your favorite book or books that you can think of?
Growing up, I used to read a lot of like nonfiction books, and only until when I was like a teenager that I started actually getting into fiction. I really liked Percy Jackson, but there's also this series called The Golden Compass, or it's like His Dark Materials.
Yeah.
Golden Compass, Amber Spyglass, Subtle Knife, those books. I loved those books, mm-hmm. and they were great, but...
Maybe that's our sponsor for today, because I love those books, and they, I feel like, did not get the popularity that they maybe deserved.
I think the movie was like, it could have been a little bit...
I haven't seen the movie. I'm scared to. I loved the books
so
much.
The books were way better. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously the thing that people always say about books, right? But I personally think because, the books, it just keeps going, and it gets really complicated.
Yeah, the weaving of the stories and how interesting each of the characters are, and just the, like... daemons that they have, like, adds a whole... Wow. Have you read that series?
It is good.
No, I have not.
It's good. You would like
it's
it,
It's great.
You like
and they're like, older kids' books, and it won't take you that long to read them. There's three. In the main series, but then there's some prequels and offshoots, too. But I haven't read those. Just the main series. Oh, what a good series. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. But, that was my favorite book, right? Was there, like, another part of the question, or...?
Yeah. What are you reading now? Anything interesting?
Oh, right now... Okay, I've been checking out a lot of books, right? Because I found out that Front Street Books in town, they have, like, a little, like, discount section. It's like, oh! So...
You work in a library, right?
I do, and I've been checking out books, and I have been scared to look at the due dates on those, because I know it's getting close, if not... I mean, I've lost track of time. But I've been... I checked out a book from the library called Black Sun. I forget the author's name off the top of my head, but that one's like a weird little 70s romance about a park ranger. It's not the kind of thing I'd normally read, but the title got me like, oh, that's interesting. I'm reading right now, like currently right now, Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah.
It was the first book written in America to become a worldwide bestseller. And it's honestly, it's a really good view into the mindset people had during that time, right? Like the Reconstruction era.
Are you reading this for a class or for fun?
For fun.
For fun.
Yeah, I think it was brought up in a class at some point, but I mean.
I remember we read it in my American Lit class whenever I was an undergrad.
Yeah, I've always had a really big passion for literature.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a history major first thing, so it's like I don't get that many literature classes. I'm signing up for some as an elective, though.
Yeah, that's great. So,
yeah,
I like my literature classes a lot. Edwin and I were talking yesterday about how I can remember just a handful of times where I had actual finals during finals week. Most of my classes required a term paper that was due usually the week before finals week, so that my professors won't have time to grade them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But... Yeah.
Oh, that's actually a thing. I forgot. I do want to be like a teacher. I think I mentioned that actually. Never mind. But
you
that's
did.
Like, yeah, that's part of the.
What? You mentioned professor.
Professor. Yeah.
That's
maybe.
My recommendation. I was an elementary school teacher.
I don't know if I can handle elementary schoolers.
Well, they were fourth graders. They were older kiddos. And I loved my kids. They were wonderful. It didn't matter which age group I was with. It was everything else involved in the job that was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, that's another thing is I think the education system, it's like, it's something that you need to go into if you care about it.
Yeah.
And I was honestly the worst student Sanderson probably has ever had.
Oh, I was a bad student too.
I never turned anything in on time. I had straight D's and C's at best. So.
D's get degrees.
Yeah, no, I did eventually just, I'm going here now, and I decided, well, I did have a lot of great teachers who actually believed in me and somehow put up with me, and now, because of their efforts, I'm actually able to improve myself, and I want to be able to do that for students. And that's another thing, I guess, that kind of ties back into the library thing about education. I think education's really important to me in terms of giving people an opportunity to learn more than they ever could on their own, right? We're living in a time now where astronomers can look in the sky and see galaxies that no one ever knew existed. We're able to keep information and technology and all these things growing and progressing in such a way that's bringing all these opportunities for people, and I want to make those opportunities available, and I think libraries are an essential part of that.
Absolutely. I will say, I loved teaching. I felt like I was pretty good at it. I loved my students. I feel like I'm making more of an impact as a librarian than I ever did as a teacher.
Really?
Just wow. Because of the freedom, which, I don't know. There's a lot of rules and bureaucracy anywhere you go, but wow. Every move was monitored, so much paperwork, much paperwork.
Yeah.
Where you can care, I feel like, these are my feelings. My feelings only.
Yeah.
That you can care about the students so much, but people who care the most about the students are the ones that are being pushed away from the education sector. I mean, and Edwin can speak to that too, because you were a education major.
Yeah, I was a
And you're still thinking about being a teacher one day, but like it's not to dissuade you from achieving your dreams and working towards your goals.
No, I'm not being dissuaded whatsoever.
Okay, good.
That's exactly what every teacher says every time they bring this up. Okay. Not to dissuade you, but.
And I mean, I look back on it fondly. I had great memories, but like teachers are not taken care of. It was so stressful. Like, anyway. Anyway, moving on. I think libraries would be a good fit for you. Or an archivist even, since you're so passionate about history and preserving human history through documentation.
Definitely.
So. Anyway.
So, whenever you get to look through the books that we have in our collection, has anything jumped out at you that would say is notable as part of our collection?
Well, I always travel through it. You know, there's the whole like call number system of like the hundreds are like reference in educational books, you know, like sometimes even religion, and then 800s are fiction and like the children's books, and the 900s are the history books. Those are the ones that always stand out to me. I think it's mainly just the range of what we have covering and what I see people have been reading, right? Because that's my job. I mean, people, they go in there, pick up a book, go through it. They don't put it back because we keep stats. records.
Which most libraries do. If you're pulling books off the shelf, leave them off the shelf so that your library can keep track of things that are being used in-house.
But like then I just go through all these books and I find all this information, which, I mean, it may not be useful to me, but learning about the psychology of clothing or how to build an adobe house, things like that, it's like, oh, people are learning that still. It provides value to people. I mean, people think are like, oh, libraries are outdated. We have phones now. We have the internet.
Libraries are outdated because we have phones.
Yeah, we have technology. But, I mean.
Because we have phones.
Exactly, right?
I'm sorry. Libraries maybe are a little outdated, but we're working hard to modernize.
But they're still
ourselves.
Useful. They're still a valuable source because, I mean, people are still using them. It's there is a lot of information which you can find in a library which you can't find online, and I just think that it's great that I could see people utilize all of that up there. I mean, we do also have a lot of banned books, I noticed.
Yes.
So I mean,
that's, I think, is great because, I mean, what was it, like Stephen King said that if someone's trying to keep you from reading a book, you should definitely read that, right? In terms of why do they want you not to read it?
Right.
I think the fact that, I think one time I saw we had a display for those, and I thought that was amazing because...
Yeah, Banned Books Week is every September, usually towards the end of the month, and libraries and librarians love banned books because it makes them feel like we have a purpose.
Wow, that's our purpose.
I'm sorry, I'm so cynical today.
Unless it's the book from The Mummy, then please don't read from the book. You're going to summon Emotep back.
I mean, you can read it in your mind, right? But do not be reading any Latin texts or Egyptian texts out loud. Maybe that would be our Halloween episode.
Just summon a random
just reading emo. Some ancient Latin or something.
Okay. Imhotep is the name of the guy who actually was like the architect for the pyramids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I love the mummy movies. They're so horrible.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser was like the best part.
I love Brendan Fraser.
He's a sweetheart.
Yes.
Shout out to Brendan Fraser, who is also sponsoring this podcast.
No, I'm sponsoring him. We're sponsoring him. We love him. Okay. Yeah. Do you know about our fine press collection, yeah?
I believe so. Could you refresh me on that?
Yeah. So in the conference room, there's like...
You need the gloves.
All those shelves. Yeah. Well, the gloves are controversial.
Really?
You may not need the gloves because the gloves have... they collect dust and have particles of cloth on them that when you're wearing the gloves and handling the books, those things could be transferred to the books. Whereas if you're going raw, just your hands, and you wash your hands real good before you touch the books.
You killed buddy.
Rest in peace. You'll likely get less on the books, but people go back and forth. I mean, I think the best way to do it would be the like nitrile gloves.
Yes, I forgot who mentioned that. April or Betsy?
I think it was Betsy. Betsy, like those cool like black gloves.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you got your inner demon going there.
Yeah.
Like just opening it, but just
Anyway, I feel like since you talked so much about how special content is and mention the books that Oxford most likely has. I mean, we have several first edition fine press books in that collection you should spend some time with for sure.
I think that's great. I mean, we also have the museum here.
Yeah. Right, we love the museum.
Mary Bones and...
I'm like, did she choose her profession or did her profession choose her? With a last name like Bones?
That's a good question. It's like Chance the Rapper. Do you think he became a rapper because his parents named him that? Or if he had a different name, that he would get a different career, you know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That was a really good one, man.
But, yeah, no, I know in there we have, like, some old maps, right? Like, people first discovering America
stuff
maps.
Stuff from, like, the 1800s and stuff.
And seeing that and being, like, so close to it's so cool because it's like, wow. This is the kind of thing I would only see in a picture or in a book. And now it's like, they're right there.
I just actually visited the museum with my family this last weekend. And my husband was with us. And he was asking me if I thought they were like the actual like first edition, whatever, like real maps. And I was like, they literally have to be. Like museums cannot display facsimiles, copies without notifying the viewer that that's what they're seeing. And I bring that up because I want to shit talk about that horrible Van Gogh exhibit. Did y'all hear about this?
What Van Gogh exhibit?
It was like last summer was when it was like in its craze. It was like the immersive Van Gogh.
Okay.
Horrible. Waste of money. Okay, because you didn't see any of his original artwork. It was literally a scam. Like it is against museum like practices. Policy? I don't want to say laws, policies to display copies because they're considered fakes and saying that it's the actual artist's work. And I was, it was like literally, I read a review that called it a 12-minute screensaver. And I said, yes,
that is correct. I hope it's not the one that I was planning on going to in November.
Jeez, dude.
Because there's one in El Paso. And I was like,
yeah, that's probably it. Van Gogh Immersive, just something like that.
Something
cancel
like that.
Your tickets.
Cancel
your tickets right now. Do something else.
I want to see the real painting.
Yeah. And the DMA had a few real ones. The Dallas Museum of Art had a few real ones up. And then the Kimball has a few Van Gogh pieces, real ones.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, what a segue. Okay.
Yeah.
Last few questions here, buddy.
Cool.
What do you love about Sol Ross?
What I love about Sol Ross? I've been coming here since I was like 8, right? My sister came here. She met her husband here.
Oh, cute.
And yeah, now it's like, I have a little bit of a connection to this place. I used to come here all the time for band camp. And
what did you play?
I played the flute.
Cool.
And the trombone at first, but then I just like, oh, I want the flute.
Yeah, flute's a lot easier to carry.
Yeah, right. But I just always had a connection to Sol Ross in terms of I kind of almost grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like during the summer, but I mean, I love the fact that I kind of had a little bit of a connection to this place. And I feel like I'm following in my sister's footsteps at least a little bit in terms of trying to make myself be someone who's like a successful human being.
What does your sister do?
I'll ask her about that. I think it was like something involving.
I want to be successful just like my sister. I don't know what the heck she does.
But she's honestly successful.
But she is so successful.
But she does it really well and with confidence. Yeah, I think she went for like law school.
She's unemployed,
here,
but like, damn, she's good at it.
She's good at it.
Oh, she's doing great.
No, but
I can't wait for part two where we find out what your sister does.
I'll ask her.
We'll bring her on the cast. Like, tell us about Buddy.
She's gonna be like, Buddy said what?
No, well, I mean, just yeah, like I didn't even know I wanted to go to school here until I came here. Right, I mm-hmm. came here for my PSAT. Right after high school, I graduated, and like a few weeks later, I was like, all right, I'll go here. I was waiting in the UC, waiting for the test to start, and it's like 6 a.m. in the morning, and see the sunrise. It's so beautiful. It's like,
so beautiful.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to school here. That was just how I decided. It was like, this is a nice place. It's a really nice school. And yeah, like, I know Sol Ross isn't the biggest school. It doesn't offer too much, but I do have heard it has great education. That was also like a lot of the professors here. That's my main thing too.
Yeah.
A lot of them are amazing and great. I have all the history professors, most of which I love to stay after class to talk to, things like that. I mean, it's very personal. You get that here, and I don't think I would have gotten that if I went to like Angelo or UTEP or anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, those schools are huge. I had a really unique college experience where I did my undergrad at a smaller school, A&M Commerce.
Yeah.
Go Lions. And I loved it there. It was a great school. It was small. My professors knew me by name. Like, ooh. Well, don't act surprised because that happens here too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sol Ross is a little smaller than A&M Commerce, but like literally just the fact that your professors know you is such a valuable thing because right. that means that they care about you mm-hmm. and they're going to help you succeed.
Definitely.
At whenever I went to grad school at UNT, first of all,
there's a first of all.
That campus is constantly under construction. Well, ours is kind of under construction a lot too, huh? But at least it's kind of like contained,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas UNT's construction, it literally looked like a war zone.
It's not that obtrusive
going
here, I hope. But
it was bad. Anyway, so I think, you know, big schools offer you maybe more opportunities.
Yeah.
They also cost a lot more money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're not as well taken care of as you are in a place like Sol Ross.
Here I feel like I've gotten a lot of connections, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, my name is Buddy. That's my real...
You're literally the only Buddy in the, like, directory, by the way.
There's another, but I think that's just a nickname.
That
I was
can
like,
be only one. What?
When I searched Buddy, you were the only Buddy that popped up.
Well, the thing is, my name is Buddy. It's easy. I'm your Buddy. It's easy for me to make friends,
yeah.
right? So it's like, I go to get food and I get like five people like, hey, buddy. And it's like even the professors and I just enjoy.
They're
the
like,
fact
we don't know that guy's name, but man, he's nice. We're going to call him Buddy.
And boom, that's it. They memorize your name.
Right, but no, I building those relationships, that's something I think I could only have done if I went here.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. that's something I'm grateful for.
That's so nice. Okay, last question.
So, Buddy, now you told us what you love about Sol Ross, but what do you love about Alpine?
Alpine. Well, I love all the food trucks, obviously. That's
what's your favorite?
I really like Trilobite. They have great.
I haven't
fries.
Been there yet. I need to.
I think also it kind of I think the school's a little bit of a microcosm of Alpine.
Yeah.
I feel like that's really like, oh, I'm being so again, being like so deep and all that, so philosophical. No, I mean it in terms of Alpine is very small, right? It's a very
yeah.
close-knit town. There's a lot of local businesses here. And in terms kind of like how Sol Ross is a very small school, Alpine, it feels very personal everywhere you go, right? I mean, you see the same people. You get to wave hi to them, and you build those little relationships over time. You may not know their name, but you go into the coffee shop or... You go to McDonald's, you see the same
McDonald's? Did you say McDonald's?
McDonald's.
I like McDonald's way better.
Sometimes
McDonald's.
I call it McRonald's.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
I get the Big McDonald from the menu.
The Big McDonald?
The Big McDonald.
That sounded like something else.
Fire. No!
You pointed at me.
I know, because what you said, I was like, what the heck? Oh my god.
We are not sponsored by McDonald's, obviously.
McDonald's sounds like McDonald's, like mafia cousin.
My girlfriend calls McDonald's Mac.
I break
And
my
I
niece.
Think that's so weird. It's like, it throws me for a loop every time. It's like, what's Mac? Oh, you mean McDonald's?
Mackey's. I call it Mackey's.
That sounds...
I call it Whack Donald's.
Whack
Donald's. Whack Donald's? I like that. You know, I went to the McDonald's here for the first time this weekend.
Yeah, and you called
whack
it Whack
Donald's, for sure.
No, but, I mean, Alpine is also just super pretty.
Like, oh, yeah.
I love the landscape around here, the mountains, and the way that it just looks in the sunrises. I wish I got to wake up at, like, 4 a.m. every morning just so I could, like, sit out there and wait for the sun to, like, go over those hills, right? Because it's just something about...
I mean, you could probably wake up at 6 and still have the same experience. You don't need to wake up at 4.
I mean, if you see it go up over the hill, that's great. I mean...
Yeah, the general. Mountains are... People don't... Number one, people don't know there's mountains in Texas, so they're always surprised. And yeah, those sunrises and sunsets...
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's like a big point in me coming to school here. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I love about Alpine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw, I like that.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Any questions for us?
Oh, yeah, actually, earlier I was going to ask if I could ask you guys questions. Because, okay. Thank you for coming on the show here today. So, Jocelyn, you've been working at Soul Ross for...
Not very long.
Not too long,
since
honestly.
January.
What could you tell me about Soul Ross that's maybe stands out to you? I mean, in terms of the library or the school?
Just yeah. That's actually a really good question because since you grew up here, you're like, this is normal for me, everything I see. The things that are not normal, from my perspective, in a good way, people are so... Nice.
It's a little disarming, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is. Like, I remember as a kid when my parents were driving and they would wave at people in the car and be like, who was that? Who are you waving at? And they'd be like, I don't know. I'm like, why are you waving at a stranger? And they're like, it's a nice thing to do. That's just something that you do. And I was like, okay. And then I never really saw it living in bigger towns, maybe in neighborhoods, but like, I mean... The thing you get on the highway in Dallas and Fort Worth is this, right? Not waves.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I've noticed also, it's just like people come up to me and have, like, random conversations. I don't even
people
know
say
your
howdy.
Name.
People wave at you on the street. People make sure... People here literally have fostered such a community feeling because we're so remote... Where, like, we have to take care of each other. We literally depend on each other to survive out here.
Do you know what the Texas state motto is?
Friendship.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply everywhere.
Right.
I definitely mean, applies here.
It does apply here. And that's,
Like, I listen to Marfa Public Radio in the mornings. Shout out. Ooh. And, like, on mornings where it's going to be warm, they're like, make sure you have plenty of water with you today. And I'm like, okay, that's very desert town type of attitude. But it's also just so cute. Like... Make sure you have what you need. And if you don't have something that you need, people here are happy to provide that for you.
Yeah.
The sense of belonging, just literally by being here, that I feel is disarming, like you said, but so comforting.
Like, not in a bad way.
No, just different. Different.
And follow-up question for Edwin. actually, that was kind of like my main thing. I was just wondering, like, what your experiences were here personally. I mean, I know you've been you worked as a student worker. You were in my position before I took your job.
Oh, yeah. So that's a running joke.
So you're Edwin 2.0.
Yeah.
That's the joke they would run with him a lot. They'd always talk about me to Buddy, and Buddy would be like, oh, well, who's that guy? And Al would be like, oh, he's the guy whose job you took.
I was like, what?
Oh, my God. Because you got promoted, not because you got let go.
But I didn't know Edwin for, like, at least a good half year or a year or so before I finally met him, right?
And what? Y'all were working in the same building and didn't know each other?
No, it's because...
Oh, he wasn't around. Okay.
When Buddy started working, that's when I started doing...
Your internship.
My student teaching.
Okay.
And I had that semester off.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't in Soul Ross for a year. Yeah. That's when Buddy started working there.
We met playing games before we met in person. It was
what
funny.
Games?
Just like PlayStation. You know, I think we played Fortnite a lot at the time.
Dead by Daylight, obviously.
Yeah, games like that where it's...
Dead by Daylight?
That's a great game.
I tried it. One... I keep saying number one and then not following up with the number
two.
First of all, that's the end. Scary.
scary.
But I like be. I like scary games. I much prefer horror games over horror movies. And two, it made me feel nauseous. Like the motion. Yeah. Not the blood and guts. Whatever. That's
cool.
I'll
tell you, I was screaming the entire time. At the very start, at least, I would just yell.
It was pretty great. We would ask, like, oh, where's the slasher? And you just hear Buddy scream at the top of his
like,
lungs.
Like, really shrill.
And we'd be like, he's with Buddy.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised I never got any noise complaints, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's how Edwin and I met. And, I mean, well, I did kind of... What's the difference, you know, like, where you are now in the library compared to where I currently am? Like, what's our gap? What's the separation? Because you've been in both. You've tasted from both bowls of soup. I was trying to come up with a metaphor. It makes sense.
You can't. Too hot.
No.
So my experience was rather interesting when I first came to Alpine back in 2017, because the group of people I was surrounded with back when I lived in Fletcher were all very like rodeo.
What's Fletcher?
Yeehaw. Oh, Fletcher's the old dorms.
Yeah. So there's the Lobo dorms, Lobo apartments. Then you have Fletcher building, which is what's known as the financial aid dorms.
Wow, I've never heard that.
Yeah, no, it's the financial aid dorms.
That fits, actually.
Yeah, like
love that.
One room,
two beds on each side of the room,
and then there's a connected bathroom to another room.
Yeah. Okay, so well, I mean,
you got
that was my dorm experience too.
And for here that's the financial aid dorm. But
love that.
What was cool about it is that we kind of fostered a little community with, like, the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I met a lot of my friends there. Most of my friends grew up in, like, the ranch life. So I was out of, like, my personal comfort zone because I'd start learning a lot about, like, stuff that they would do. So when I started working at the library as a student worker, again, I got kind of that same feeling because no student worker there was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had like very different backgrounds and everything, things they
liked
and everything.
It's almost like people are individuals.
Yeah, and it's almost like people are individuals. Wow. But like, no, it's like, because you know how there are times where you associate yourself with a very specific group of people.
Yeah.
Like, similar interests and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's very, Alpine like sort of pushed me out of that bubble into meeting all the different individuals that Alpine had to offer, obviously. So I look back at it now, and much like Al mentioned in the last podcast, it gives me that unique experience of being able to know what the student worker is going through.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you're barely working at the library, it can be a little intimidating. Mm-hmm.
It's a little intense, yeah. I mean, we have so much that we're in control of in terms of, like, what we have to do, right? I mean, obviously, we man the front desk, we check in books.
Staff,
check on books.
The front desk, not man. But staff. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. I help in guests log in. I'm in charge of answering the phone and like giving out information.
Y'all have the most important job in the library. Yeah, like without y'all, we couldn't do it.
I mean, in general, I just feel like people don't know the extent of what working in a library entails, right? I mean, we try to keep stats on all of it, but there's just so much that I didn't know I could keep all of this information when I was doing the training. They go, okay, here you do this. This is how you use a shredder. Well, you put the paper in there. But so much to actually keep in mind. But
yeah, I think one of the biggest ones that they always tell you is a little bit difficult to like realize you can do is that you can tell people like, hey, you're being loud. Like, stop that. Like, you're like, well, I'm just a student worker. And it's like, no, dude, like... This is your job, like, and
wait, are you saying you shush the student workers?
No, the student workers shush
like
ability to shush.
The ability to shush people if it comes to that.
Have you ever had to do that?
I've never had to, no, but I mean, one of the things I always have to battle with is pushing chairs back into place. I never noticed how much it happens where people just like leave the chair out.
I'm like, what
whoa,
the heck?
No, I'm in charge of pushing it in, and then. Yeah, that's like, wow.
Why don't people push their chairs in?
It opens up a new perspective to me, in terms of, like, what goes on in the world.
Yeah, people are different, I guess. Anyway.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, any other questions?
How was your day?
Great.
Honestly, great. This has been
pretty good.
A good podcast.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
No, it was great. I enjoyed this.
Yeah. You're the first of our student worker series. So.
Wow.
Because I think we're going alphabetically, right?
Oh, okay.
I don't know about that.
That's because it's alphabetical. My name starts with a B, obviously.
Yeah, because we don't have any A student workers. Yep.
If we did, they would have been your favorite, huh? They
would not my favorite, but just number one in my heart. Just kidding.
They may be number one in your heart, but they wouldn't be your buddy.
They would not be my buddy.
I've never heard that joke, honestly. I know, right? That's so original.
It was a joke?
It's just what he says all the time.
Oh. Yeah.
I call people buddy, too, just to, like, mess
that's
them.
Cute.
Like, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Knowing that's my name.
Yeah. Oh, and my parents have a dog named Buddy, so.
I got attacked by a dog named Buddy one time.
Well, it was not this dog. This is not an attack dog.
I think that dog knew my name was Buddy. He's like, there can only be one.
There can only be one.
Yeah.
Who won?
I don't know. It bit me and ran away, and I don't know. I was like 10, so.
So maybe, that dog is probably long gone.
Yeah, maybe I won by now. It was a war of attrition.
Back to the morbidness.
Yeah.
Woo! All right.
All right.
I think that's it.
Great note to end on. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. For sure.
Yeah. Thanks. Nice.